2021, and we welcome you to Discussing the Truth broadcast. I am your announcer, Antonio Green. Our host for this broadcast is Pastor James A. Dansby, and our co-host, Minister Kelvin Peters. We have Minister Milton Dudley back with us on this panel as well.
Welcome back, bro.
And it is our prayer that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would speak truth to your hearts. Pastor Dan.
Well, praise the Lord, guys.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God. Thank God for Jesus today.
Amen.
We count it a blessing just to be able to once again come and as a group of men of God, just to sit down and discuss the Word of God and pray God as it relates to the unfolding of events today. Amen.
That's right. Not just discuss, Pastor, and believe.
Well,
believe it.
All the events that are happening in the world today it solidifies our faith in the Lord.
Amen.
It makes us stronger in the Lord. That's all it does, really. You know. But Milt, we'll have to see you back here.
Man,
did I forget to pray the last time?
I think I forgot the last time because you weren't here.
No, we got it in.
We got back on track. Okay, my brother. Well, it's good to see you back.
Good to be back, man.
Well, let's ask God to bless the broadcast today.
Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name, Lord, for this broadcast.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your truth.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, your truth is led by your Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we come praying for each and every member here.
Yes, Lord.
And the listening ears out there, Lord, everywhere. Let's tune in to you.
Bless you, Lord.
Lord, as we come studying blacks and communists,
realizing
that everything you have said is coming to pass.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
So, Lord,
yes,
we're standing by faith, walking by faith.
Help us, Lord. Help us.
Standing on your truth.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God. All right there. Yeah, gentlemen, we're going to continue on in this vein that we've been looking at communism, socialism, Marxism, and its influence on the black community and how it has, caused us to, move away from the Word of God. You know, that's the problem that, I see today. That you're trying to embrace two things that are two opposites.
That's right.
They cannot come together.
They cannot come together.
But we see so many things here taking place today. And by the way, let's pray for those people over there in Afghanistan, our soldiers.
Pray for
our soldiers and pray for those people too. You know, like say you realize that we were over there what 20 years or so.
20 years.
And those people got accustomed to the peace. The measure of peace and a different lifestyle altogether.
And now
we see that it's being bam, all of a sudden it's taken away from them. So there's a lot of Christian people there, you know. How many of you guys realize that God has born again people
everywhere? They don't
necessarily look like us. But God, whatever the spirit,
look just like us though.
But they do. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, and there is no place that He is not, right?
That's right.
There are people that are being brought to the Lord.
Amen.
We got brothers and sisters over there.
Yes, sir.
That their language is altogether different from ours.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when you start talking Jesus' language, I guarantee you they understand what you're saying. So my heart goes out to them because God expects us to lift them up in prayer. That hopefully we can get some of them on the boat and, back over this way here. But our country is changing rapidly also. We're not in the same condition that Afghanistan and, Iran and a lot of these other countries are in, but we're still moving toward that same kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we eliminate the Lord, when we constantly are trying to push the Word of God in the background, then something got to take its place, right?
In a lot of ways, we're in a worse condition, Pastor. In a worse condition. We had a freedom to disgrace and dishonor God in the way that we do. We have the direct freedom without repercussion.
Okay.
But now where that puts us with God is way worse.
Yes.
Than where it puts us with man.
That's right. That's right.
We're in a bad fix right now.
Well, and like I said, we have tasted the liberty. We have had the opportunity in this country, thanks to the Lord.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But now as we eliminate the Lord in our society today.
Yeah. How have we thankful?
Okay. We that means that we're headed toward a disastrous situation and we see it unfold. I see it unfolding every day, you know. So let's just keep all these people in our prayers and we just pray that all our listeners, that the Lord is keeping them safe also. Amen.
Pray for our leadership.
Lord, please.
Pray for our leadership.
What did the Lord say in the Word of God, Kevin, about Israel choosing a king over them, over him? What did he say? What did the Lord say is going to happen to the people?
He said he will judge them for that.
Right. Okay, but he said also that the kings that you choose over me, how are they going to take your children and they're going to put them on a bondage situation and they're going to use them for their own aggrandizement.
That's right.
And if you choose them over me. So we need to pray for leadership today. And basically what we're going to continue to look at, we started last week, leadership in the black community, number one. And we, here in Birmingham, we got, our voting coming up here. When is that? Next week sometime?
Mm-hmm. I think 24th.
We choose to lead our leadership again here in Birmingham. And I kind of looked over the choices myself already. Pickings are slim, though. It's really slim. As far as trying to find those that are out front with their religious convictions. You know, it's kind of hard for a person that stands firm on the Word of God to even be in a race.
Well, the system has been set up, Pastor, where if you come out front with your religious conviction, it puts you on the back burner. Yeah.
Okay, you automatically got to go to the back of the line. Okay, you got to go to the back of the line.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Pelosi was telling us in the presidential election, you gotta vote for it to see what's in it.
Okay, before you can see what's in it, you gotta put your blood on it.
You gotta stamp it first.
Yeah. Well, like I said, leadership plays an important role, in building a family, you know, strong male leadership. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible endorses, male leadership.
Yeah,
and I know that's not very popular today. We've been, what we call, male shielding the pigs and
masculinity.
Oh, toxic masculinity. Okay, but are we really saying what the Lord says?
Not in that event. The Lord says.
I'm talking about male leadership.
That's his way.
God has endorsed male leadership. And when he said the woman is a weaker vessel, he's not talking about a lack of intelligence or nothing like that, brother. We want our people to understand that. But what he's talking about, they don't have the fortitude.
The nature.
Uh-huh. And he said, well, Paul even called them the weaker vessel.
Right.
Yeah. Weaker how? Well, they tend to, gravitate or give place to the enemy.
That's the way God made them.
That's the way God made them.
Emotion.
And that's a place for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not out front.
That's right. Well, they're supposed to balance out.
Okay.
That God gave up.
Negative
to make a perfect mix.
Okay.
A perfect example of that is Pilate and his wife.
Good.
Yep. His wife offset his judgment, like, you need to leave this man.
Leave that man alone. don't bother that man.
Right.
Because he was at a different kind of stance on the whole thing, you know. Yeah. Don't you know that I got power, man?
Right. That was his attitude. Right.
but
his wife balances that out.
Right. Another situation could be like Job and his wife.
That's right.
Curse God and that.
Okay.
It is, you know. Right.
But very good.
Yeah. But like I say, we're seeing the disastrous results of female leadership here in the United States. Period.
Yeah. Period.
All over the country. But still, even in the Congress, we got these females, which are of the communists.
Yeah, party.
Ilk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philosophy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Running flatly on how they feel.
Right.
About different situations. Yeah.
And they are out front and seem like a lot of the voices have given place to them.
Yes.
And they have grown bolder in their philosophy more than
that. That's what they have, dude. Mm-hmm.
The majority of those elected last term was kind of this class of women that they were promoting.
Okay. Yeah.
Women have really made a mark in politics.
And not that I got anything. Women. We love women. We like got good wives. And I married one too. But there is an order. There's a pecking order.
Yeah.
There's a pecking order
that
God has established.
That's right.
And I think when the women get out of that order, then we're just asking for, you know, more confusion. So we got a woman running for mayor here in Birmingham for the first time, you know.
A lot of that too goes back to where men hadn't really stood up to be the
That's what I was going to say, bro. Put your chest in, man. All it means is you carry the blunt of the responsibility.
A lot of our men
are feminine.
And that goes back generations, bro.
But the Word of God, we're concerned about the Word of God, and the Word of God has placed a man in a position where he should be out front making these tough decisions. You know, Chicago decisions and, you know, Afghanistan decisions and all that. And not lazy. They shouldn't be out front like that. But now, leadership is important. That's what we said. And we need to choose leadership that lean toward the Lord. You know, and like I say, it's kind of hard for a person to come out and say, well, I am a staunch conservative Christian and get elected anywhere today.
Yeah.
Because of the great shift.
Yeah.
There's been a shift.
The movement will steamroll you if you did. If you came out like that, they coming to get you. Council culture, gonna get you.
Okay, but it's still, as far as the Word of God concerned, we're still in
line. We have to.
With the Word of God. Okay, yeah. Last time we were here, we dealing with Marxism, communism, socialism as it pertains to the black community. How we have for a long time been kind of gravitating, leaning into the socialist movement, you know, getting something free, everything, entitlements and all that. Mm-hmm. We've been heading in this direction for a long time, you know. And I think we're pretty right now.
Under the guise of equality.
Forcing people to, you know, accept us, rather than a heart change, which is what God, endorses, or change deep down in your heart, but not one of those, shotgun type of,
content of your character.
Yeah, right. But Martin Luther King, you know, I would say that, he's one of the, in our generation, one of the, what we call the great leaders. In that he was a minister of the gospel, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very, he's a smart guy. King was a smart guy. Very articulate, you know, and,
charismatic.
He had all this going for him, and he was accepted by, you know, the black people here in this country and other countries also.
All over
the world, you know. But yet and still, we find out that, he spoke boldly against the Marxism, that it wasn't compatible with Christian faith. Mm-hmm. Is that right? But it started out like that, but when you saw where he began to
waver, lean.
Right. As he went on in his career there, he began to waver and began to embrace, you know, the socialist movement and, as a way to, pull the black man up by his bootstrap, more or less, you know. And, we began looking at an article, it was one of his messages, wasn't it?
Yeah, sir. How should a Christian view communism?
That was the title. How should a Christian view communism? That was the subject of King's, message. And, we don't have a date, but I'm sure this might have been probably in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
And it was in his early ministry after he come out of,
And the text, Father, the proof text was Amos 5:24.
Right? You use Amos 5:24, which says what, brothers?
Let judgment run down as water.
Okay.
And righteousness as a mighty stream.
Okay. So that was Amos' message to the people. Well, what was happening that really caused Amos to, you know, to speak these words? Yeah, what do you think?
People
what
was happening? The people yeah. would, they would, okay. they would, buck wild.
Just said it like it is.
So people,
okay.
People were being, kind of like, you know, King liked this text here because it seemed like our people today were going through the same thing that the people went through at that time. Is that right?
Well, they were trying to fight wickedness with wickedness.
Yes. Okay. And that works good as long as you got a gospel message to go with it. Am I right about that?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
But when you bring this up butt naked though, then without the gospel to, you know, tenderize it,
right.
Then you headed in the wrong direction, right?
Amen.
Kevin, you began reading last week, and we read a lot of this article last week, and we didn't finish up, and we want to kind of finish up on this, but we got into the middle part where he began to kind of gravitate away from the Word of God,
right,
and move right into a full-blown socialist
right.
movement. Is that right?
Yeah, because he was starting to talk about some of the traits that we can take from communism, which is the social...
Some things that we can learn from communism?
Which is the social justice part of it that the church has not really embraced.
Okay.
He made some statements in that sermon, too. We just... We said it from the beginning, this was a sermon. Yeah. This is something he preached on the pulpit.
To an audience.
But he said things like, in America, slavery could not have existed for almost 250 years if the church had not sanctioned it.
Okay.
Did the church sanction slavery?
No.
The church didn't sanction slavery.
The church did not sanction slavery.
So comment statements like that.
Yeah, that's false. That were three people that were for slavery, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the church though.
That's
the church,
right.
All the old preachers fought hard against slavery.
That's right. Absolutely. Huh? Absolutely. Right. When you're looking at it as a body, they've always stood against man's sin.
Spurgeon, mm-hmm. One of the great preachers over there in England, all these guys, they were staunch believers that slavery was against the Word of God.
Then Wilberforce go to his death?
Wilberforce, that's right.
Fighting against that?
That's right.
This is one of the comments.
Go ahead. He said,
we must come to see
mm-hmm.
that Christian gospel is a two-way road. On one side, it seeks to change the souls of men and thereby unto them with God. But on the other, it seeks to change the environmental conditions of men. So see, that's where he's turning.
Environmental
conditions of men.
Of me.
Okay. So that the soul have a chance after it is changed.
Yeah. Social gospel.
So the soul have a chance after it is saved.
Yeah.
If the social climate is conducive to their growth.
Right.
That's a worse gospel. That's what the Bible Paul called being married to the law. You can't be married to the law and have the law as a girlfriend.
That's right. That don't work, bro. That ain't gonna work. That's adultery.
Kevin, where did we leave off at? You want to take up slowly where we left off?
Yeah, we're right above part three here, article three, the judgment of God.
Okay, upon the church. Okay, right. So the Bible do say judgment began at the house of God.
Right.
Why would you think the judgment began at the house of God, gentlemen?
Because we're the ambassadors, we're the stewards of His Word.
Okay, so the Word has been deposited into our account,
right.
The church,
mm-hmm.
to issue it out. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
So when you said the church failed in that mission.
Right.
That's why the judgment going to begin at the house of God.
Yeah, but that's not in the same context as he's talking about.
Okay, well go ahead. Let's go ahead.
The judgment of God is upon the church.
Okay, judgment on the church.
The church has a schism in its own soul that it must close.
Mm.
It will be one of the tragedies of Christian history
if
future historians record that at the height of the 20th century of the church was one of the greatest bulwarks of white supremacy.
Wow.
In the face of the communist challenge, we must examine honestly the weakness of traditional capitalism.
Okay.
So he's saying that capitalism is weak.
Capitalism is weak and tends to aid and abet the suffering of...
That's what he's saying.
Right. Okay, all right.
Capitalism is the economic system in which works in a democracy.
In a democracy, yeah. They go hand in hand. Yeah.
Right, but socialism is the economic system In which, in a communist
country. Yeah, right. Movement or, you know, atmosphere. Okay, go ahead.
In all fairness, we must admit that capitalism has often left a gulf between superfluous wealth and abject poverty, has created conditions permitting necessities to be taken from the many to give luxuries to the few, and has encouraged small-hearted men to become cold and conscienceless so that Lazarus.
That's right.
They are unmoved by suffering, poverty-stricken humanity.
Look at a tug on them heartstrings.
Yeah.
Look at it. Forget why a person in that condition.
Even there, right.
Yeah. Forget why he's in that condition.
Yeah, forget that.
None of that matters. Just the fact that he's there.
Forget that same person's ability to change.
He can't, that's our job, bro.
It's the gulf of communism, that gap that they're concerned about bridging.
Well, what did Christ say about the poor be with you always?
They'll always.
Why not, is it because he has ordained, or is it because of their irresponsibility?
But then we go,
if a man don't work, he don't eat.
That's the word of God.
If he don't put forth an effort to support himself and his family.
As far as the Bible is concerned, he doesn't have the right.
Okay.
The privilege.
Right.
To have anything.
To eat. So therefore the poor be with you always. Because of their irresponsibility.
That's
okay.
Right.
Go ahead, brother. Read a little bit more.
Although through social reform, American capitalism is doing much to reduce such tendencies. There is much yet to be accomplished.
Mm.
God intends that all of his children shall
all
have
his children.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Shall have the basic necessities for meaningful, healthful life.
Well, okay, all his children.
Well, okay. Yeah.
See, we can't let that be. That ain't the whole world he's talking about today.
But in that instance, Jesus said that John was the number one prophet, and you see how he lived.
That's true.
So that's really not a...
It has nothing to do with it.
Well, God wanted to make sure that he was different. His lifestyle was different.
What's that basic necessity for a meaningful, healthful life? Surely it is unchristian and unethical for some to wallow in the soft beds of luxury while others sink in the quicksands of poverty.
This is the preacher from the pulpit.
Do you hear that?
This is the preacher from the pulpit.
And the people are digesting.
He's supposed to be feeding the flock.
Right.
He's saying it's unethical. If I worked overtime and I done bought me a soft bed, I should feel bad by laying in it.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, for those who have earned.
Because you passed, in order for you to get to that bed, you passed by three sleeping on the hard concrete.
He didn't get away from it. He didn't just say unethical.
He said unchristian.
Yeah, unchristian.
He said not like Christ.
In other words, that kind of attitude, that kind of society, makes it necessary that we pressure those halves to give to the half.
There you go. Social gospel.
Don't worry about how he got in that state.
Why are you talking about that, man? That don't mean
right. But have we seen all our money issued out to help people try to pull them up by the bootstrap, get them a nice place to stay?
Yeah.
Get them a nice place to
get
stay.
Get them a job.
Won't stay there.
Won't stay there.
Learn a skill.
A free place to stay.
It won't stay there.
So that's not the problem.
It's spiritual. It ain't money. It's a wandering spirit. That can't stay. You can't put them in four walls.
Okay. They need the healing touch of the Lord.
Yeah. Okay, read, Kevin. Read
that. The profit motive, when it is the sole basis of an economic system, encourages a cutthroat competition. And that's how he describes capitalism. It encourages a cutthroat competition
and
selfish ambition, and inspires men to be more concerned about making a living than making a life.
Boy, he sounds good. He's an orator with words.
It can make men so eye-centered. that they no longer are thou centered. Yeah, that was a good one. Are we not too prone to judge success by the index of our salaries and the size of the wheelbase of our automobiles, and not by the quality of our service and relationship to humanity? That's works based when you even gauge it that way.
That's works.
Yeah. Capitalism may lead to a practical materialism that is as pernicious as the theoretical materialism taught by communism.
In other words, it ain't no difference. So now let's see which one we need, which one will be best. It's
beneficial to us. Mm-hmm. They all the same, really. Yeah. Really. Yeah. We might as well go ahead on and go full blown in that blooming other that direction.
You know? Dude, is this just me, guys, or is this y'all too? From what we've been through so far,
it
already seemed like two totally different sermons. In the same sermon.
We started out. Yeah. But you see how we've gotten pretty much where we are right now. Okay, go ahead, Kevin. Read it more.
Well, we must honestly recognize that truth is not to be found either in traditional capitalism or in Marxism. Okay, that's good.
No truth in there. Okay.
Each represents a partial truth.
Okay.
Historically, capitalism failed to discern the truth in collective enterprise, and Marxism failed to see the truth in individual enterprise.
Okay, individual work. Okay.
19th century capitalism failed to appreciate that life is social. Okay. And Marxism failed and still fails to see that life is individual and social.
Okay.
The kingdom of God is neither the thesis of individual enterprise nor the antithesis of collective enterprise, but a synthesis which reconciles the truth of both. That's a lie. God doesn't run his kingdom like either at all. I'm just saying, like,
absolutely, my brother.
God don't run his kingdom.
That says something.
It's just a bald face lie, you know. But like I say, he's a silver tongue. This guy got a silver tongue. He's smooth though.
He's an orator.
He's a great orator. We give him all the credit. He's a great orator. I don't think nobody, Obama couldn't touch him.
But the spirit though, if you have any inkling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
These things will just like it just did with our brother here. It'll touch you in a way where you just can't receive that.
That's right. Well, we have a foundation of truth within our soul.
Absolutely.
And it immediately records against, you know.
Absolutely.
But now, a person that is motivated by feelings, King will make them hang from the rafters.
That's right.
That kind of preaching, that takes you to the rafters.
Swing from the chandelier.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they do it.
All right, my brother, can we go to the bottom?
Finally, we are challenged to dedicate our lives to the cause
of Christ. Okay.
Even as the communists dedicate theirs to communism.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We who cannot accept the creed of the communists recognize their zeal and commitment to a cause which they believe will create a better world.
Mm-hmm.
They have a sense of purpose and destiny. Yeah. And they work passionately, assiduously
to win
others to communism.
They do.
How many Christians are concerned to win others to Christ? Often we have neither zeal for Christ nor zest for his kingdom. For so many Christians, Christianity is a Sunday activity having no relevancy for Monday, and the church is a little more than a secular social club having a thin veneer of religiosity. Jesus is an ancient symbol whom we do the honor of calling Christ, and yet his lordship is neither affirmed nor acknowledged by our substanceless lives.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
Would that the Christian fire be burning in the hearts of all Christians with the same intensity as the communist fire burning in the hearts of communists?
It would be nice.
Is communism alive in the world today because we have not been Christian enough?
We have been Christian enough.
It ain't enough. He could have left enough off. You know what I'm saying? It ain't levels to that.
It's sort of like Peter and Jesus. One minute he's talking in the spirit, in the next
But at the same time, let's remember now, the Lord took a few handful of disciples and immediately they turned the world upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't about numbers, it really
not at all.
No. We're still back to the will of God.
Yeah.
And the move, the power of God moving, you know, because God can take a few people, and we know that from dedicated
He can take a few.
So it all goes back to God.
Yeah.
And His will.
Yeah.
Because, you know, though, like He said, it may not be many that'll stand it up, but how many does it take for God to?
That's it. But you have to take works completely out of it. Right?
You got to take works.
You got to realize
there's nothing you can do. No way. We got to separate the works from the grace and God.
Amen.
God working according to His will, you know. All right, my brother, let's get a little bit more of that then.
We need to pledge ourselves anew to the cause of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We must recapture the spirit of the early church.
Early church.
Wherever the early Christians went, they made a triumphant witness for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Whether on the village streets or in the city jails, they daringly proclaimed the good news of the gospel. Their reward for this audacious witness was often the excruciating agony of a lion's den or the poignant pain of a chopping block.
Yeah, right.
But they continued in the faith that they had discovered a cause so great and had been transformed by a Savior so divine that even death was not too great a sacrifice.
Amen.
When they entered the town, the power structure became disturbed.
Their new gospel
brought the refreshing warmth of spring to men whose lives had been hardened by the long winter of traditionalism. They urged men to revolt against old systems of injustice and old structures of immorality.
Yeah, definitely.
When the rulers objected, these strange people, intoxicated with the wine of God's grace, continued to proclaim the gospel until even men and women in Caesar's household were convinced. Until jailers dropped their keys. Mm-hmm. And until kings trembled on their thrones.
Mm-hmm.
T.R. Glover has written that the early Christians outthought,
outlived, outdied everyone else. Come on, man. Now, I tell you what. He preached right there. That's what happened. That's the example that we had on what being Christian.
Yeah.
Not a great Christian, not a big Christian, but just being a Christian.
Well, you know, and he's pointing to the movement, you know, pretty long time ago when the early preachers were out on the street and in the cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't have the luxurious edifice that we have today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have, you know, 20 suits lined up in the closet, you know, and, they had one outfit that they wore probably.
All through the way they went.
So the materialistic bug hadn't bit them yet.
The luxury, the lack of luxury.
But still, we have to say this here. It was a great movement at that time, yes. But it was still God that was.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. Who brought the movement on?
Okay, we got to go back.
Who brought the movement on?
Though they were dedicated and they was out in the weather, they did things that these preachers today won't even think about doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's still, it was God.
Yeah.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin, let's get finished up, baby.
What kind of fervor today?
Okay.
Where is that kind of fervor today?
Wow.
Where is that kind of daring? Mm-hmm. Revolutionary commitment to Christ today. Is it hidden behind smoke screens and altars? Mm-hmm. Is it buried in a grave called respectability?
Oh,
is it intricable, bound by nameless status quo and imprisoned with cells of stagnant force? This devotion must be released. Christ must once more be enthroned in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is our best defense against communism. War is not the answer.
Okay.
Communism will never be defeated by the use of atomic bombs or
ideology.
Let us not join those who shout war, who through their misguided passions urge the United States to relinquish its participation in the United Nations.
In other words, global.
Oh yeah, yeah, about to say, who was the most recent leader we had to make that stand? The last administration.
That's right. Globalism. That's all,
that is.
We just one world.
Yeah,
one world.
That is.
And like I say, anytime that button is pushed, we definitely, it should perk out every believer up.
Yeah.
Because we know that that's the system of the Antichrist, right?
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
one world.
All the same. Bring them all under the same bound.
That's right.
One religion.
And it's like this COVID thing that we have today. It has brought the whole world, you know, into one net together, you know?
These are days when Christians must invent wise restraint and calm reasonableness.
Okay.
We must not call everyone a communist or an appeaser who recognizes that hate and hysteria are not the final answers to the problems of these turbulent days.
Mm.
We must not engage in a negative anti-communism, but rather in a positive thrust for democracy, realizing that our greatest defense against communism is to take offense action in behalf of justice and righteness.
Okay,
the reason why is that he don't want you to speak against communism,
but
he wants to fight it with democracy. But what he's calling democracy is really communism.
Yeah. Same thing. It's a play on words.
Right, yeah.
So we wouldn't have to worry about the communist movement if we just be fair.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
That's what he said. If we just do the right thing toward our people. Yeah. Huh? What about the dark side of human nature that's about?
That's what I'm saying. What are you going to do with that? Oh, they still there.
You know, it's like they said, the president said, well, we talked to the leaders in, over there in Afghanistan,
the Taliban,
and we agreed that, they gonna let the people, come out, those that wanna leave, let them leave, and the women that's gonna be left there, they gonna treat them fairly. Now, who buying that? Who buying that, bro? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can sit down and you believe you here telling me that they don't agree. Who, the devil agreed to what?
That's it.
And the Muslims, we know that the Muslims in their teaching, they are allowed to lie. Well, even bigger than that, Pastor, we know this is an ideology.
Right.
This is an ideology of these folks.
And what they call treating the women fairly is under their system, under Sharia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Under Sharia.
They're going to treat them right as long as they cooperate and adhere to the Sharia law.
That is right to them. That is right.
It's the law they've been living by for 800, 900, 1,000 years.
You asked the question, Pastor, who falling for that? Who accepting that?
Yeah.
Why are they so-called making the agreement
right.
is women laying dead in the street?
Yeah. Already.
Yes,
because of them not covering their face or not. In any little thing. This is why that you saying, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we gonna do that.
Y'all should have saw David Wood talk to some Muslim women. They were claiming they were Muslim.
David Wood?
And him really showing them what it said in the Bible, and they was lost. They was like, I ain't never heard that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a good video. Yeah,
David Wood, I got to check them out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about it, brother. You can't, you're bargaining with the devil, you know. This system now. This is the demonic system.
Oh, yeah.
This is the demonic system. And like I said, we are back to leadership again. We got these people in our Congress that they have loud voices right now.
Right, absolutely.
The sad story, look here. Let me say this before we finish it up. The soldier, I don't know whether y'all saw it, that he was on one of the, CNN, but one on Fox, he said that, brother, he said, I work 20 years, almost 20 years with the same interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
Afghan interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my convoy was blown up.
Okay, I saw him.
People, one life lost and limbs blown off.
Blown off.
But the same guy worked beside us for 20 years is the one that snitched and sold us out.
What?
After being with us 20 years.
20 years.
With that crew.
That crew. One of us. Eat with us.
Yeah.
But in the end, he sold us out. But it's an ideology. You can't trust these people.
Pastor.
You cannot.
Pastor, they made a deal.
Okay.
And let one of the top terrorist leaders out of Guantanamo Bay in a trade for Bo Bergdahl, you know, years ago. That was under the Obama administration.
Yeah.
On the premise that he was done. No more terrorism for him.
Hold on.
On my honor.
Oh,
right.
On my honor.
Yeah. When they took the capital over there and that's him sitting in the middle seat.
That's him in the middle seat
holding for the fish.
Yeah.
The one they let go, his dad, he was locked up 8 years.
They showed him.
And what's on him obey?
Now
he, that was him sitting up in the middle. One of the chief leaders.
So,
you know, so how can you put any stop in these people's words?
Yeah.
How can you do it?
And their so-called Bible, the Koran, it teaches them that in order to further our cause and give traction to our movement, you can lie if it's necessary.
That's called Shakir.
So now why would I trust any one of them?
Anything they say.
Huh?
You can't trust anything they say.
They said we're missing 10 jets right now. The Afghan soldiers flew 10 of our jets and they said, well, now, over here in the bush.
Much more military equipment than that. New tanks, everything.
Right. New tanks.
Go.
This is an inside job, guys. They got them. They left it.
And our present leadership didn't have enough wisdom to get our equipment out of there before they declared Harry Carey.
Right.
Pastor, and what does that do for the CCC, China, Russia, all these people sitting at the door waiting on their opportunity to get in this land? Now they get to examine our technology. They get to do all that. It's simple stuff. Therefore, you know. It's a fly in the buttermilk. That's all I know.
And we know one thing about China and those Asian nations like that. They're not good at coming up with original ideas, but they're great copiers of them.
Oh, not copies. They'll copy yours and take it to that next level.
Okay, Cam, just finish up on that, my brother.
After our condemnation of the philosophy of communism has been eloquently expressed, we must, with positive action, seek to remove these conditions of poverty, insecurity, injustice, and racial discrimination, which are the fertile soil in which the seed of communism grows and develops.
We got to remove them.
Yeah.
How do we remove them? This is something embedded in our hearts. How do you, know any doctor, physician?
That can remove racism?
I know one.
You know what?
Yeah.
A great position.
Yes, sir.
But are they? I don't see the recommendation.
No, ain't none of that.
No, recommended it,
huh?
Can't read.
Communism thrives only when the doors of opportunity are closed and human aspirations are stifled.
That's a lie.
Like the early Christians, must move into a sometimes hostile world armed with the revolutionary gospel of Jesus Christ.
You say one thing. Go ahead.
With this powerful gospel, we shall boldly challenge the status quo and unjust mores and thereby speed the day when every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now he says, stop talking about communism.
Yes,
Lord. But he's against capitalism.
Capitalism, right.
He said that.
Yes.
And then he says that to battle capitalism, well, communism, we need to take away discrimination.
Okay.
But how do you do that?
How do you take away discrimination? And look, but hear what most of society today are in denial. Even our preacher out there, our laughing buddy out in California, Joel Osteen, whatever his name. People make bad choices, but deep down inside, people are basically good.
Come on.
Is that what he said?
Good people make bad choices.
Yeah, that's what he said.
But is that the Bible? Good people are basically good.
There's not one good.
But see, in order to gather an audience of that magnitude, you got to tell people what they want to hear.
Right.
And they want to hear that they are good people.
Well, see, look, just think though, Pastor. Even this pastor that this whose sermon we'll read now.
Okay.
We know he got off kilter with the social gospel when he went to the streets with it.
Yeah, right.
This thing started out to be the movement itself, the civil rights movement. It was to say that we should have every right under this democratic republic that any other man has under this system.
Right.
But right here, what he's saying is he wants to scrap the system.
Yeah, that's right.
His problem is with the system, not the fact that you don't have complete advantage of, take advantage of it.
Right, the whole capitalist system.
So he just spit the wheels of what the fight was even about.
Yes. So we need to throw the whole bathwater out, the baby in the bathwater out. And start all over again. But like I say, my problem is that they don't understand the depth of the evil or rottenness of human nature.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that they don't really want to deal with that aspect of it. But brother, we got a problem deep down inside of us. You're black, whether you're white, you're green, yellow. Of course, it's exacerbated when you got people like the Muslims who have got this ideology of, conquer. That's all they want to conquer and destroy is all they know.
Yeah.
They don't know nothing else. Yeah. Huh? Conquer and destroy.
Right.
And that's their goal for not only Afghanistan,
for the world.
The
world.
Global agenda.
The world.
As we open our borders up down there right now, who's coming in?
Come on, cut it out.
Who's coming in? I saw some Somalians coming in down there.
Right.
And I know them boys.
They've been coming
in. Them boys bad news, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at Minnesota up there. That's who operating up there. It is not the people. Don't keep your emails, because we ain't talking about no group of people. Amen. We're talking about the ideology.
What they believe.
Yes, sir. It's incompatible with Christianity.
No, with the word of God. Period.
In America, regardless of what these people might think, America was founded upon the principles of the Word of God.
Right.
I'm not saying that everybody was a Christian. No, I'm not saying that. But they did come to the agreement, all of those brothers, that to build a strong country, a strong nation, the Word of God was a good format.
Yeah.
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 They did agree on that.
Yes, they did.
Morality.
Yes.
Can build a nation with the morality.
That's right. We got the last paragraph.
Okay, go ahead.
He really contradicted himself.
Go ahead. What do you say now?
Our hard challenge, and our sublime opportunity is to bear witness to the Spirit of Christ in fashioning a truly Christian world.
A truly Christian
world. If we accept the challenge with devotion and valor, the bell of history will toll for communism, and we will make the world safe for what? For democracy. And secure for the people of Christ. That's just the opposite.
It's a new group of people with that same vision. The world changes. You remember them? Yeah. They got to get the world ready for Christ.
What are you going to do with the world, y'all?
Am I missing something? What did he say? I already said he's going to have it in the world.
Democracy and security for the people of Christ is getting smaller and smaller every day.
I remember a long time ago with that organization, the Promise Keepers.
Yeah.
You know, and they had about 10 different things they pledged to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do nothing. They gone, y'all.
Yeah.
You work in our work religion. I work.
That ain't never what God told us to do.
It ain't never from the very beginning.
The foundation. That ain't what God had for us to do.
But Martin Luther King was one of our... I mean, in our generation, I would say the so-called greatest leader that we have had.
Oh, yeah.
But his mindset was that our system, capitalist system, was not a God system.
Right.
Huh? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
He said if we would do better if we kind of brought some of the communist
ideas into
Christianity.
Right. Yeah.
He said that capitalism was I-centered instead of thou-centered.
You know, and people swear that right there, that speaks volumes.
Yes.
Speaks volumes. Because at the end of the day, the believer only has one mandate.
What is the mandate?
Go ye therefore and preach this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else. See, we put a stamp on Dr. King that he was a moral, such a moral man, but it wasn't morality, it was non-violence.
Yeah.
That he was non-violent.
Yeah,
he was just non-violent. That was his thing.
Morality wasn't
that thing. Wasn't it.
No.
That wasn't it.
Right.
You know, that's not me throwing, I have no room to throw a rock at any man.
Oh, no, ain't not. Hey,
at any man.
You ain't got no rocks in your pocket. You don't have nothing to get rid of. Hold up.
Go ahead. That's absolutely right. And we're not trying to degrade it, but the facts are the facts.
Yes.
The man, we gotta deal with truth, people. We gotta stand on truth.
Yes.
And as believers,
mm-hmm.
if you believe the truth, you'll say what God says.
Yes.
You'll say what God says. And I don't care who's wrong. It's just the fact that they're wrong.
Right.
And we gotta be willing to stand up and say they don't matter who it is.
That's right.
We gotta be willing to stand up and say that.
And stand on truth and righteousness and, you know, like I said, we got this election coming up and we need to choose leaders, that truly believe in standing up on the word of God, you know. And, today that's kind of rare, but, you know, when you look at the picket that we have to choose from, because most of them are of the mindset, that the black man has been treated wrong. So, if he wants to vent his anger, let him vent his anger. I've heard parents say that about their children when they get mad. Leave him alone. He just.
Expressing himself.
Yeah. So we got leaders today that when blacks, want to tear up the cities, they sit back and say, well, leave them alone. The kids just, expressing their anger. You know, they've been done wrong so long, you know. We don't need those kind of leaders.
There's somebody from higher up than them that's using them same people.
Absolutely.
As a tool. As a pawn.
Kevin, let's get ready to sum this up now. We have said a lot of things, but basically, we talk about leadership, right?
Right.
And it's important that we choose leadership that has a mind that's in tune with God's word. You know, and not what's unpopular today. Come on, give us a summation on something we can leave with the people today.
We have to follow leaders,
okay,
that are following the word of God. Just like Paul said, you follow me
as
I follow Christ.
Right.
And that's what we don't have today. So that's why we have to individually follow God.
Okay.
You know, Martin Luther King compared heaven. Said it's some socialist and it's some capitalist in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that that's not right at all.
No,
there's only one king.
That's not right.
There's only one king.
Yes,
and that's Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
And we need to follow his ways now.
That's right. Amen.
That's Amen. Good, bro. That's good. You know, in one place over there in the Bible, it said when the righteous are in control, the people rejoice.
That's right. When
the righteous are in control, the people rejoice.
Right.
But when the wicked are in control, the people mourn.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says. And that's right. That's Bible. And that's true today.
Yeah.
And who's in control is solely up to the people.
Okay. So in our system, yes.
It's up to the people.
We voice.
Absolutely. So we have to ask ourselves, is it more imperative to me that I'm going to get a chicken and a duck in the pot, or two chickens in the pot, or one chicken to do the right thing?
Okay.
You know what?
Okay.
Because we got to make that decision at some point, people, and start really paying attention and take special care at who we put in these positions of power.
Amen. Bill, what do you say, bro? You know, this country is leaning more and more towards this communism and Marxism.
Okay.
That's true. And that's because of leadership. And many are not saved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were, then, like you said, we would hear more of our leaders mentioning about the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And who was leading them and walking by faith. And,
that's right.
But we don't hear that today, you know.
That's right.
Because there's division.
Amen.
And the enemy, he's busy.
He's busy.
He's real.
No doubt about that. And brother, I would leave this thought here for our people, especially here in our city, in our great city here. Until we can choose the best person that, you know, that has a leading that we can see from the Lord, number one,
mm-hmm.
and the wisdom and expertise to run a city and be fair to everybody, whether they're black or white.
Amen.
Until Birmingham and other cities get paid, because we got a black predominantly population,
right.
That don't mean y'all gonna say what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But until we can look beyond the color and choose leadership that has all the qualities that
based on righteousness.
Until we get to that point,
than Birmingham in other countries, other cities. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Let's pray for the Father in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, I pray now you speak to the hearts of people today. But let truth rain down. Praise God. Let truth go forward in this world, in this life. And Lord, we give you all praise, all glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.